Well, today we're starting a brand new series entitled Picture Perfect, where we look at our life, our family, and our relationships through God's eyes and not our own. You see, when we look at our life, our family, and our relationships through our eyes, what often happens is we set unrealistic expectations and demands on them and on us. Because our human tendency is to want to be picture perfect. All you have to do is look at social media and see that everybody wants to look picture perfect. Have you ever seen that perfect social media account where everything looks perfect? They have perfect vacations and perfect house and perfect family and perfect marriage and perfect kids and even perfect teeth. Everybody wants to look perfect. And as we're trying to attain this level of perfection, often what can happen is we can have Facebook FOMO or Instagram envy, because when we begin to compare our life with theirs, we realize that we don't measure up. And we start thinking about how our spouse is disconnected and our kids are frustrated all the time and even the dog doesn't listen. I'm here to reassure you that whenever you see an Insta-famous family photo and you think it's perfect, I'm here to tell you it's not real. It is not real. Because you haven't seen the backstory. It took 67 photos and a bunch of bribes. The husband got bribed with new golf clubs and candy and ice cream for the kids and a new cell phone for the teenagers. And there was yelling, there was gnashing of teeth. Everybody was miserable, except for a split second. In fact, there's probably a mom that was yelling at her son saying, "If you don't do this, you'll lose your cell phone till you're 35. So if you ever find yourself stressed out about the perfection you see on social media and you feel like you don't measure up, I'm here to remind you that social media is a highlight reel, not the full story. Social media is a highlight reel, not the full story. And the reason I know that is because I noticed that no one ever posts their ketchup spill moments. No one ever posts the fact that they have lettuce in their teeth. No one ever posts their double or triple chin selfies. It just never happens. So don't compare your behind the scenes to everyone else's highlight reel. What will happen is you'll fall into the comparison trap, and that trap will swallow you up. You see, you don't have to be picture perfect in order to move forward. So with that in mind, I want to talk about the perfectly imperfect family. The perfectly imperfect family. Your life and family and relationships are perfect being imperfect. You see, the only one who's perfect is God, and he doesn't expect perfection from us. So I want to invite you to let your hair down. I would, but nobody's perfect, but God is. And he doesn't even expect us to be perfect. He just expects us to admit that we're imperfect. Because when we admit we're imperfect, what happens is we're actually acknowledging reality that he is perfect and we're not, that he is God and we are not. And in our imperfection, we allow the presence of God to step in. You see, in God's word, he says that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And then when we are weak, he is made strong. In other words, when we acknowledge that we are weak, we're able to see God's strength shine through. We weren't created to be perfect. We're created to just follow Jesus. Here it is. God becomes stronger in us when we admit our weakness to him. But I think God gets a little concerned about us when we begin to act perfect when we're really not. Because what happens when we act perfect is we're acknowledging a reality that isn't true. See, often what happens is when we try to project perfection, we are demonstrating pride and we're saying we're better than what we really are. But often, sometimes what happens is we'll then fake humility when what we really are is we're created in God's image. We're intended to reflect him. I'll tell you this, that when we reflect accurately who we are, we're not better than what we really are, and we're not less than what we really are. There's a level of trust and credibility, and the world says, I can trust them because they are real. There's a necessity for there to be honesty and transparency in the body of Christ so that unbelievers can believe the faith that we hold fast to. So what's the alternative for perfect? It's to grow and move forward. It's to grow and move forward. One of our core values as a church is it's good to grow. It's good to grow. In fact, I want to invite you to say it with me. It's good to grow. God created us to grow. Let me put it this way. God says, come as you are, but don't leave as you came. He says, come as you are, but don't leave as you came. He says, come as you are into my presence. Allow my presence and my power and my strength to change you so that when you leave, you don't leave unchanged. See, the whole purpose with us coming to church is not so that we just feel good, but so that we would leave changed by the power of God. That is the purpose of why we gather. That's the purpose why we worship and why we lift up our hands. It's the reason why we allow God's word to be planted in our hearts. It's so that when we leave here on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday, we can live out our faith. So people see that God is real. God loves us too much to leave us as we are. So how do we move forward? Well, I want to encourage you to go to the owner's manual. You see, every vehicle manufactured in the United States or every vehicle that is permitted to be driven here in the United States has to have an owner's manual written by the manufacturer that explains to the owner about how to operate the vehicle. Now, I know that when you look at the road and you're out on 1604, you're wondering if people really know how to drive. And they're not consulting the owner's manual, but the owner's manual does tell them how they should operate. I want to tell you, in the same way God has given us an owner's manual, it's called the Bible. It's our manual for life. It tells us how we can operate our life effectively. And it was written by the manufacturers, written by the one who created us. So just like when your vehicle doesn't work correctly, you go to the owner's manual. When our life doesn't work correctly, we need to go to God's word and allow him to speak to us about how we need to move forward. So, to have a perfect, picture-perfect family, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to go to God's word and let him speak to you. And so today, we're going to go back to the beginning. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to invite you to go there because Genesis is the starting point. In fact, that's what Genesis means, the starting point. And God's starting point is our reference point for how we should do life, how we should do relationships, how we should look forward to the future, how we should parent our kids, how we should manage our finances. God's word is the thing that should direct us. So Genesis chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 26 through 28. And I want you to look at what God is saying to us about how he created us. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Before we keep moving forward, I want to share with you that in creation, God, he did something called created intent. He had an intention in how he created us. It wasn't by accident, it was on purpose. So what I'm about to say is not a political statement. It's not a social agenda. It is me repeating what God's word says, not necessarily what my opinion is. It's what God's word says. So I'm just repeating what he's saying here. The Bible says that he made them male and female. I'm here to share with us, church, simply this, that God intended at the very beginning for our biological chromosomal reality, the fact that men have an XY chromosome, and that women have an XX chromosome, and that they're different, that created intent, that biological reality, was always to stay connected to our identity, to our gender identity. You see, the fact that he made people male and female is picture perfect. He made you just the way he intended you to be. With that in mind and with that created intent established, now let's look at verse 28, what God is saying to us. So God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, say fruitful. Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. That means have dominion, that means to be in charge of what I put under you. Today, God desires to bless his people and to see them make progress and move forward. And today I wanna share with you a few steps you can take to move forward in your life. The first one is simply this, focus on progress, not perfection. Focus on progress, not perfection. You see, God is looking for forward progress, not flawless perfection. We don't have to be flawless to move forward. You notice in verse 28, he says, be fruitful. He doesn't say, be flawless. We need to pursue and focus on progress, not perfection. Here's a couple things for us to realize about this idea of progress over perfection. The first one is this. Perfection is an illusion, but progress is real. Perfection is an illusion, but progress is real. I want to take you back to social media. What you see on social media is an illusion. I want to tell you, no one looks that way. I promise you, not even the people whose photo it is. That photo has been airbrushed and photoshopped and gone through so many filters that not even on their best day does that person look like that. Too many of us feel like we're trying to attain that. And so what do? We put our photos through filters to try to look better than we are. Yes, we need to make sure that our photos are presentable, but filters have given us the belief that perfection is possible. But it's an illusion. I think many of us have fallen into this trap of perfection because we believe that our messy life is a mistake. That our messy life is a mistake. I'm here to tell you, life is messy. The process is messy. Parents who have toddlers, you know, life is messy. This is a reality of life. When our life is messy, we just clean up and move forward. We don't try to present an illusion because that's not real life at all. Messy isn't bad, it's just messy. Second thought I want to share with you is this, is that perfection paralyzes, but progress propels. Perfection paralyzes, but progress propels. When you get into a cycle of trying to pursue perfection, what ends up happening is you get frozen because you're trying to make it perfect, and when it doesn't end up perfect, you get frustrated, and so you stay stuck. Progress is more important because you're actually moving forward. Perfection will keep you stuck and it'll keep you from moving forward. I would rather take a messy process that makes progress than perfection that doesn't. You see, the small steps you take are better than the giant leaps you fake. Sometimes we just need to let God speak to us and move forward. I also want to remind us that progress is a process. Progress is a process. Life is not always up and to the right. It's not always perfect all the time. Sometimes you're going to fail. Sometimes you're going to stumble. Sometimes you're going to make a mistake. Sometimes you're just going to have to push forward, even when it's hard. I tell my kids that we're mussets and we do hard things. And they roll their eyes at me, but I'm praying that they'll learn and that they'll step into that identity. Sometimes we just need to trust the process, even when we can't seem to see the results that we're hoping for. Progress is a process. It's moving forward even when we face enormous setbacks. It's moving forward even when we're struggling with depression or anxiety or chronic pain and we find it difficult to get up because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Trust the process, but more importantly, trust God. Here's what progress looks like in the process. It's three steps forward, but two steps back. It's falling seven, but getting back up eight. It is fearing regret more than failure, because failure is the fact that you've actually tried, but regret means you didn't even try at all. We need to fear regret more than failure, because sometimes you win and sometimes you learn, and God wants to help us turn our losses into lessons so that we can move forward. progress is a process. If I had to sum it up, I'd sum it up like this. We were created to be fruitful and faithful, not flawless. To be fruitful. There's going to be seasons of fruitfulness and seasons when we're not fruitful. But we need to be faithful day after day, week after week, month after month, in the mundane faithfulness of life, and we'll see fruitfulness. Your faithfulness in one season will produce fruitfulness in another. So what do? Every day you just give your imperfect best. You give your imperfect best. So to the moms and the ladies and the wives who give your life each and every day for your family, your imperfect best is good enough. To the husbands and the fathers and the men who work so hard to earn a wage, even with difficult bosses, even in difficult environments, your imperfect best is good enough. To the students and young adults who give, who are facing immense pressure in the culture, who are facing immense pressure on social media, your imperfect best is good enough. And to the single parents and the grandparents that are raising kids, often without any help, your imperfect best is good enough. Your imperfect best is good enough. We weren't created to be perfect. We were created to reflect the perfect one, who is Jesus. The second way to move forward is to plant seeds and pull weeds. Say it with me. Plant seeds and pull weeds. Life is about planting seeds and pulling weeds. Planting seeds and pulling weeds. The Bible describes it this way. It uses farming terms. Sowing and reaping. It's about planting and harvesting. It's about what you put in the ground is what grows. What you plant is what ends up being produced. We need to realize that everything that we do in life or don't do plants something. Here's a couple things I want you to remember about planting seeds and pulling weeds. The first one is this: be prudent about what you plant, because weeds have seeds too. Weeds have seeds too. And I don't know if you know this. Anybody who has a garden or a lawn, you know that weeds grow up quick, but the good stuff takes a while to grow. Parents, you know this to be true. You're planting and you're planting and you're planting, and they just don't seem to listen. But they have an attitude just like that, and it pops up day after day. We need to plant seeds and pull weeds. I know many of us have experienced the regret of not pulling the dandelions before they bloom. Recently, my wife and I and our kids, we went out to our backyard and spent a half a day pulling weeds. Why? Well, because we neglected the lawn for a couple months, and we have a bunch of weeds in our backyard. So we spent half a day pulling weeds, and guess what? We still need to go out a couple more days to pull more weeds. Here it is. I want to challenge you to put in the work to plant good seeds and pull the bad weeds. Why? Because pain delayed is pain doubled. Those little weeds are easy to pull, but once they get bigger, they're harder to dig out. So plant seeds and pull weeds. What you don't plant today will never grow. Amen. But what you don't pull today will always show. We need to plant and pull. Protect what you want to plant and pull what won't produce. Because planting seeds and pulling weeds is a numbers game. It's all about how many seeds are you willing to plant and how many weeds are you willing to pull. So today, here's my question. And it's not about your garden. It's not about your front lawn. My question today is this: what are you planting and what are you pulling? What are you planting and what are you pulling? I want to speak to our students and young adults for just a moment. What are you planting and pulling in life? Researchers have found that the most significant decisions of your life, the big decisions of life, are front-loaded. It means that between the ages of about 13 or 14 till right about 30, you're going to make the most important decisions of your life. Who is Jesus in your life? Will you marry someone who follows Jesus? What kind of career or life plan do you have? How will you steward your money? These are the questions. These are the big decisions of life. Today, I want to encourage you, students and young adults, Plant a life devoted to following Jesus. Plant a life where you pursue a life partner who follows Jesus too. Plant a life where you steward God's money God's way. That's the reason why we have Ramsey Plus. It's an online portal where you can learn how to steward the money that God's entrusted to you that is His for free. We're giving it away for free because we want you to win in your finances, just like God wants you to win. We want you to plant a life where you have a career where you can earn a living wage for yourself, but at the same time, enjoy what you're doing and make a kingdom impact. I'm gonna encourage you to pull away from skepticism about the future. I wanna reassure you, it doesn't matter how bad it looks, God is still on the throne. And your best days are still ahead. I wanna encourage you to pull away from online influencers being the loudest voice in your life. Be willing to let God's word be the loudest voice in your life. Be willing to invite older, more mature believers to step into your life to speak life and hope and truth to you. And then you can share with them about how they can minister the gospel to your generation. Couples, what are you planting and what are you pulling? Because we're planting and we're pulling things in our life all the time. Couples, I wanna encourage you to plant date nights. Plant benefit of the doubt. Plant encouragement. Plant kisses on your spouse. And if you've been together for a while and you're not married yet and you have kids together, can I just encourage you to plant getting married? Your kids want a safe home where there's that security of unity between the two of you. I wanna encourage you to pull disconnection, pull yelling, pull cutting each other down in front of the kids. In fact, pull cutting each other down at all. You can have a constructive feedback conversation, but when your criticism and your cynicism begins to cut them down, you end up losing. It's the reason why we have a class called The Art of Marriage. We're encouraging you to register by Monday, end of day. Why? Because we want you to win in your relationship, whether you're married or not. We want you to thrive. God created your marriage and your relationship to thrive. And when you do it God's way, you'll see success. To our parents, what are you planting and what are you pulling? You see, God's goal for us as parents is simply this: raise responsible and respectful adults that follow Jesus. Raise responsible and respectful adults that follow Jesus. You see, it's not about our personal preference as parents about it's my way or her way. It's about God's way for our kids. You see, the kids that we have are on loan to us for a season, but they're His kids forever. And His voice and His perspective should be the priority. And so we need to evaluate what our kids do and what they don't do in light of this thought. We need to ask ourselves, if I allow this attitude, this action, or this way of talking, does it help them become responsible, respectful adults that follow Jesus? If it doesn't, we need to pull it. If it does, we need to promote it. We need to plant it and continue to encourage it. So parents, I wanna encourage you to plant patience. Plant one-on-one moments with your kids. Plant responding, not reacting. They're not adults, they're kids. If they make a mistake, help them clean it up. If they're defiant, then correct it. Be willing to pull the attitude. Be willing to pull the criticism, whether it's from them or towards them. Be willing to pull them deciding whether they come to church. It's not their choice whether they come to church. It doesn't matter if they're 17 years old. You say to them, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if you decide you don't want to come to church, guess what? You have no Wi-Fi. Be willing to plant prayer time over them. Be willing to plant encouragement over them. Here's what I know. Some of your kids are being bullied at school. They just haven't had the courage to tell you. Be willing to plant in them, calling them into God's very best. Plant in them the fact that God has a purpose for their life. Plant in them life, hope, and future. I know some of your teenagers are facing suicidal thoughts and they need to hear that God intends for them to live and they have a purpose to live. It's the reason why we have a class called The Art of Parenting. I want to come alongside you parents and help you win as parents. Every parent wants to win in their parenting. And we would consider it a privilege to come alongside you, to help you win and to raise God's kids God's way. It'll encourage you and it'll bless them. Final thing that I would share with you is I want you to plant on purpose for God's purpose. You see, the life we live is the legacy we leave. The legacy we leave to the next generation and to the next generation after them. The life we live is the legacy we leave. And my prayer is that we would leave a legacy of faithfulness to God, faithfulness to our marriage, faithfulness to our family above all else. Because that will last through eternity. We need to prioritize our relationship with Jesus. We need to encourage our kids to follow Jesus. I've asked my kids to promise me one thing. I said, promise me one thing. That's all I ask. Just make heaven. Just make heaven. Because if they make heaven, it's all good. In fact, my prayer for you is, as your pastors, just make heaven. Just make heaven. Because if you do, your life will be all right. The life we live is the legacy we leave. The reason I'm in ministry, the reason I follow Jesus is because I saw my parents follow Jesus day after day. I saw them give their life to the community I was raised in, to give free medical care to people who needed the help but couldn't afford it. I serve in ministry because I saw my grandpa prepare messages. He was an Assemblies of God pastor. Gloria a Dios por pastores que siguen a Jesús. I'm in ministry because I was told stories that my grandparents on my dad's side were faithful to their Sunday school for 25 years. Danae's following Jesus and in ministry because she saw her parents give their life for this church. And we're the beneficiaries of their faithfulness. And it's our job as parents to carry on a legacy to pass on to our kids. And it's the same for you because the life we live is the legacy we leave. And we need to remember this. We are ancestors of people yet to come. So we need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for the next generation and the generations to follow till Jesus comes to take us home. We need to plant today for what God wants to produce tomorrow. And so today as I close, I want to invite you to stand. Part of what's been my burden for this weekend is that you would be free from the pursuit of perfection. Even just like that. That you would be free from the pursuit of perfection. That instead your pursuit would be following Jesus. Life won't be perfect, but God is faithful. And he'll never leave you in the ditch. He'll always pull you out. And I want to pray over you that you'd be free from the tyranny of being picture perfect, but instead say, God, I'm going to follow you. Even on the good days and the bad days, even on the days when I can't wake up, even on the days when I'm struggling, I'm going to pursue you. And I'm going to leave a faith legacy where not only does my faith look good on the weekend, but it lives good throughout the week. And I want to encourage you, let God be the center of your life. And what you'll discover is that your life will work correctly. I want to invite everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. I want to pray over you. Jesus, I pray right now for this wonderful church, this group of people who've decided to show up to your house today. I pray, Lord, that they've heard your heart, that they've heard that you have a created intent for them and that if they choose to follow you, that they will move forward in life. Set them free from the tyranny of perfection. Set them free from these unrealistic expectations in the culture. May they realize that their life is perfect being imperfect. I pray, Lord, that you'll empower students and young adults to pursue you. I pray that you will unify couples that feel fractured. I pray, Lord, that you'd empower parents to raise your kids your way. Lord, I pray that you'd work in this church Let them realize that pursuing you is the best thing they can do. Bless your people today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. It's been great to have you here at Westover. We invite you to come back next week as we're talking about communication. God bless you, and we are dismissed.